Well, welcome back to another edition of the Legends Interviews, brought to you by the Falls Education Foundation, along with Purple Pride. This is sponsored by Border Bank. Thank you to Border Bank for helping out with this. Joining me today is Dennis Bimbo Wagner, and I'm going to go right away, Bimbo. Thank you for joining me, by the way. This is an honor, and I'm flattered to be joined by you, and I always like listening to your stories. You've done a lot for our community, so let's get on. How'd you get the name Bimbo?
Well, I used to go around singing that song back in 1954. I was born 52, and it was a hit tune, and actually my wife's nickname was the same as mine. There's several of us in town that must have liked
the song.
Well,
they have a Bimbo convention, and you both showed up?
Well, no, it's a good song. I think it's by Jim Reeves, number one, I think, in 1954 or something like that.
Okay.
And so I'd go around singing it, and
it stuck.
It stuck.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've called you Dennis twice in my life.
Not too many people know me by that.
So anyways, born and raised here in the Falls, I had eight siblings, brothers and sisters. Was going to graduate in
1970.
But what happened?
Well, I had a little issue there. You know, I got a little stubborn, and I didn't take my final exam. I don't know whether I had the choice to take it or not, but I didn't. So, you know, I had to stick around an extra year because of that.
Now, what about Mr. and Mrs. Wagner, Mom and Dad? They never went into the school district and complained about anything like that?
No, nobody complained. I never had a heard from a counselor or anything else.
Okay.
And the teacher didn't make anybody aware of it. She said, okay, if you don't want to do it, you don't do it. You get an incomplete, and with the incomplete, you don't get a diploma.
That's crazy. Nowadays, school district, they'd be having a meeting. Anyways. Started working at an early age. I think you mentioned off air, like 10 or 11 years old, and that's kind of how you got started.
Yep. My dad got me a job with Dick DeBenedict, and we were cleaning cement for him over by the Old Falls High School there. And he had boys our same age and a little older and a little younger. So that's kind of where I started working and never stopped after that.
And then what went into the Wagner Construction business along with Ewald existing at that time?
My dad had a partner, Woodrow Ewald, and he also had the Corns Plumbing and Heating, because to do sewer and water work at that time, you needed a licensed plumber to do that work. So the sewer and water work would be done under Wagner, Ewald, and Corn, and the graveling and the basements and stuff like that would be under Wagner and Ewald. And of course, I started working with them. Actually, I worked with Wagner, Ewald, and Corn more with the sewer and water business with old Chuck Corn and guys like that. We did a bunch of work when I was very, very young. You know, 15, 16, I started laying pipe and stuff like that.
So you grew up in the school of hard knocks. You learned and watched others do it that were much older than you. And then for you to become so successful as you did, and you worked and did a little of everything.
I still do. I used to hire a lot. I still do. I got a really, really good office staff. And it boils down to, if you really want to get something done, you still got to execute the project. There's lots of guys that can plan and think and get you the jobs and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, somebody mm-hmm. still has to do them. And that was probably my strong suit, was the execution part. You know, going there, seeing what needed to be done, jumping in and getting dirty and getting it done. And I hired the people just like me that just hard work. You know, they left the office staff and the bookkeeping to other things. It wasn't my strong suit. And it wasn't that I couldn't do it. I just didn't like doing it. So yeah. I stuck to something I did like doing, which was hard work.
I think it's relevant. I'm going to ask you this now. We'll get to how you became a better man when you got married, but we'll get to that real short. A question that you would ask somebody during an interview that you were possibly going to hire, is there a certain question you always want to ask them and see what the answer is?
Well, actually, funny you bring that up, because again, like I said, I'm in the trenches all the time, and I had to hire estimator and an office manager or office workers at that time, and actually your son-in-law come in for the interview. And the one pertinent question I remember I asked, and when I heard the answer for that, I didn't need any more questions.
Sure.
I'd figure out how good he knows and what he knows and how hard he's going to work. But the question was, what did your father do? And I don't know if you can legally ask that, but I did anyway. He said he was a stock boy for Grand Forks Grocery, and he had worked his way up to be the senior vice president or something. So that told me right now that the kid understands what loyalty is. You know, it takes a while to get where you got to go. So, you know, perseverance. And that's one of the major things that you need is commitment and perseverance. And if you don't have them, you give up too easy. It's pretty easy to quit. And I think that's the problem we have today. There's a lot of people just don't stick to something long enough to make it work. You know, they don't want to put the effort in. As you know, in sports, if you don't put the effort in, I always take the guy with the effort, the guy that's willing to compete, not so much the talent. I hope he has talent, but he has to be able to compete and stick in there and take the good with the bad and get through it.
Yeah, the talent's there, but yeah, you got to have the it factor and the determination. Yeah. Passion is a big word.
Passion, yeah.
So speaking of passion, you're 21 years old, you're single. What happened?
Well, actually, you know, I started dating my wife when we were 15.
What's her name?
Wendy.
Full name.
Wendy Selman. Her father ran a vending business in town and everything else, and he was killed in a car wreck, unfortunately, when she was about, her mother passed away when we were 15. That was tragic. And then her dad was killed in a car wreck when she was about 16 or 17, so she lived with her Sally and Dick Shack, who you see around there. And then when she turned 18, I was 21, we got married. And we've been married for 50 years. And
was she still in the high school?
She had graduated that year.
Okay, good job.
And I mean, she still thinks, can't believe how lucky she was. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I was thinking maybe the other way around, Bimbo.
Someday.
Yeah.
She's really an organized, hardworking person.
Is she harder working than you are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, no question. There is no sleep. You know, it's really great to be married to somebody that's super organized and super hardworking because you know where everything is. But there are days when you come home and you just like to sit down and watch TV. That's not a possibility at our house. And anybody will tell you that. I mean, it just don't happen. Or she'll be doing the work, and pretty soon you feel so guilty you got to get out and help her. So you know, so it's just the way it is. And you know, I'd rather have it that way than the other way, I guess. So okay. I stuck with her for 50 years. So.
So did Dick Shack, did he have to give the okay on her marrying you?
I guess so. Maybe they were ready. Maybe they were happy to get rid of her. I don't know.
I doubt
but
that.
But they've been really great support for her. You know, I mean, it's a tough life for a young girl to lose your parents.
Absolutely.
Like that and that. So we still have them every, you know, all my kids call them grandpa and grandma, and really their aunt and uncle, but even the grandchildren. So that's great.
Yeah, I've seen them a lot.
Family's so important.
A lot at the rinks and Coney Homestead and all them. Yeah, just a great family. Getting into Wagner Construction, real brief. When did you get involved heavily into that?
Well, actually, I bought Mr. Ewald out when I was about 20 years old. I bought him out, and then shortly after that, we bought the corn part of the business, too. I worked that with my father, we were 50-50 partners, and I worked that for till he passed away in 84, and then I took my brother on. He come into the business, and my brother Kurt, and he was a 25% partner at that time, and then he worked as a partner for about 10 years, and then after that, I bought his share out, and then he continued to work for me, run crews and everything. Mm-hmm. He's a sure hard worker, and you know.
You had to be as a Wagner boy.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. It wasn't an option to sit down. It just wasn't, and you know, I don't feel bad or no regrets about it because at times you'd like to do things, but in the end, I guess it paid off.
You know, I'm riding, driving downtown. You're a modest, confident person. That's my definition of modest, but very confident. When you drive downtown, or I drive downtown, I'm sure you got some sort of work into a lot of these buildings in our community, whether it's churches or the mill or what have.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, I've done pretty much dug every street in town up.
Okay.
Maybe a couple times, but it didn't do the job good
enough. Can you come over to Riverview and do that?
Well,
right
now? I did. You know, 2 years ago, I did Highway Lane, but also,
okay.
I just funny, today, we just finished a job at McDonald's in 1984. We put that lift station in for the sewer expansion. We just replaced that just a couple months ago. So I still got pictures of me going down the hole, being set down there, 25 feet deep, and I got pictures of me down in the hole, putting the manhole in.
Okay.
And we just replaced that lift station. So kind of 40 years, and I haven't gained a thing. I'm still in the same hole.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you must feel good about yourself when you do drive around town and say, hey, I was part of that, or I was part of that, because Yeah, a lot of hard work and dedication and a lot of your own personal money. So good job on that.
Yeah. You know, I was born and raised here in a tremendous community. I got a lot of friends and, you know, I really appreciate the community. So any chance I get to help them, I do. A lot of times, you know, you don't hear about it, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm not there for the glory.
You're
or anything.
Not.
Just if you need it, I'll help you.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of hidden mail gone out.
Speaking of which, something near and dear to my heart, very important. I got grandkids in the hockey program, and Cary Park, in my opinion, would not exist without you and your family and all the hard work and dedication you put into that. And personally, I'd like to thank you for that. But how did you decide to get involved in something?
When my kids started playing hockey, and I'd take them to the rinks at 4 years old and stuff like that, and Kalen, and you could just see there was a big need for it. And previously, Dick DeBenedict and that group had tried to get a second arena, and then of course that when the girls got equal time in a Bronco arena, there became less time.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, to be competitive, you know, the teams, people have to put their time in to get better. And if they don't put their time in, and of course, to put your time in, you need ice. And of course, you know, the day of the outdoor rinks, I know everybody loved to see their kids out skating, but it just outside, but it just don't happen anymore. You needed that facility. And also it gave us another venue for tournaments and stuff like that.
Which we're doing a lot of now. A lot of that has to do with Marty. He's done such a good job for our rec program, bringing in all these teams now that we used to never be able to get. So kudos to Marty.
I'm glad somebody picked up the torch, because
yep.
That's what it takes. You know, you want a project done, you got to find a torchbearer. And if he's got his stuff together, or she, they'll solicit the support they need. It's like leadership. They'll go get the people they need to get the job done.
Exactly. And not trying to cut you off here, but Rainier, the political arena of Rainier, Bimbo Wagner becomes the mayor. Everybody's like, why would Bimbo Wagner want to be the mayor of Rainier? Well, I think we found out what kind of community that's turned into, and obviously you've been pretty effective over there. What's going on in Rainier?
Well, Rainier is a really great community, as you know it, and you know, you talk about a all-American town.
There
you got it, and you got all sorts of characters. If you know, that's what makes this whole area unique, is the people. You know, they're the spice in the food.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to Rainier and just walk down the street and have four conversations, you'll understand what I mean about that. And there was some need there, you know, and I could see they were wrestling with, you know, a beast there with the railroad. And quite frankly, you know, in fairness to everybody, they just didn't quite know how to handle them. They were pussyfooting around that thing. I read every council meeting for the last 20 years, and every time there was an issue was with the railroad, so I knew that was so. Anyway, I solicited the help with the county and the feds and the state, and we got a quiet zone, and that I knew would solidify, because you come in there like all politicians, you got to make promises, or what can this guy do for us,
sure.
or are we better off with him or without him? Well, you got to deliver. As in anything, you got to deliver, and that quiet zone was, I mean, a lot of people had tried, couldn't get it done, and of course you're dealing with the railroad, you know, who was here before snow. Anyway, we've got the quiet zone, so that led to the trust factor, and if you don't trust your leaders, you know, you're going to have a hard time. You ever see a team that produces if they don't believe in their coach or their management? And so you have to deliver, and once you do that, then it's another thing and another thing, and then, you know, what you think they need and bring it about.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. How long did it take you to gain the trust that you were actually there to help the community and not there for your own personal thing?
Well, you know, it's funny, I'm still working on it. But, you know, you do it, and you gain a few of the people, or a lot of the people, and then you do one more thing.
I think you've got a lot of them, Bimble, seriously.
Well, yeah, no question. And, you know, I always say there's always going to be a few,
yeah.
Because, you know, the crucified Christ, what chance do I got? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always someone wanting to put a nail in you.
It's like a hockey coach, right? You're not going to please all the parents.
Yeah, but I learned one thing. If you're going to have people mad, don't make it your first line. But so, anyway, yeah, so it's a continual battle. You know, you can do a lot of right things, and you do one real wrong thing, and boy, they're ready to nail you. And so, but you got to understand that, too. People are people, and they have rights and that. And that was probably my hardest thing, because obviously in the business and everything, I used to making all the decisions. Well, when you're on in that type of environment, you got to listen more. And I've always listened, but I've still done things more my way. Now I have to, you know, run it by the council who, you know, convince them that this is right. And I got a great council, smart people, all, you know, all walks of life. It just works, you know. It just works, and I think they. The one thing I know that I truly believe the council and our city clerk and people have and maintenance people. They've accepted me and understand where I'm going for, and really know why I am there. And I am there for the community, and that's it.
It's a vibrant community. It's fun to go there. It's an atmosphere I just love being a part of.
Well, it's going to get better too. It's going to get better. We got that pier coming, and we've got some other things I can't quite talk about yet, but we're working on them.
Okay, off air maybe. No. Lastly, your family, man, happily married since you were 21, and obviously, but family's real important to you. You got grandkids now. How much time are you spending with everybody, and how's that part of your life
going? Well, you know, you got four kids in hockey. I mean, two granddaughters and two grandsons. You know, it's not uncommon to have 5 to 6 hockey games a week or a weekend. And so we split it up between me and my wife, and we attend all them. And it's real important. You know, we just got back from a family vacation. We've been out in Colorado skiing with the kids. I couldn't ski. I have a bad leg. I screwed up during deer season, but... Anyway,
so for Cota knock you out of the stand or
no Jim Knapp.
Jim Knapp.
But hey, that's a long story. You'll have to ask him about it because it's worth hearing. But it's very good. Family is number one with me. But there again too, I look at this community as a family, and I really appreciate that, and you know, appreciate the people in town here and everything else. I've got a lot of workers from Little Fork. I'm trying to do something with Little Fork. I gave them a large chunk of land, and they're trying to get an RV park now, so I'm working behind the scenes to help them get that, because you know I got the Timmers and the Hauners and the Reimers and all these people from Little Fork that have been so good to me over the years, and so if I can give them something back, I did.
Well, Bimbo, closing, I could say, you know, relax a little bit and enjoy your retirement. That's not.
Yeah, it ain't gonna happen.
Bimbo Wagner, you're a legend. Thank you for joining me, and this is awesome. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.